Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these game.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield. Just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in third
half. SEC mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the South.
What's up, party people? Welcome back to SEC Mixtape, 2017, episode 4. Man, glad to have y'all. Sorry, episode 5. Glad to have y'all with us. Let's see, what do we get started at today? We got a lot going on. A lot has happened. It's off season, but as we all know, there's no such thing as off season when it comes to SEC football. Because we do this all year, 365 days a year, man. This is 365. Bob hit myself in the face. But anyway, man, we do this year-long, man, year-round. This is what we do. We just love college football. Today I'm going to cover quite a few things. Hopefully we have our host, co-host, Jenny Band, and G-Roll is joining in any minute. But I'm going to go ahead and jump right in, man. Let's go ahead and get it started, man. Let's start with Bama today. New news on Bama. What's new happening with Bama? Bama actually just flipped a commit from Tennessee, which is a big deal. I mean, that's something that happens quite often. Bama kind of does what they want to when it comes to recruiting. We all know that. Nothing to see here. Bama just deboed another Tennessee player, and honestly, as we know, Tennessee, all kinds of crazy stuff been going on at Tennessee here lately. So,
Bama being Bama, man. What else is going new? Do we have going on at Bama? We have the quarterback controversy that I don't think is a quarterback controversy, man. Someone wrote an article saying that Alabama will be utilizing a two-quarterback system this year. They have an amazing freshman that everyone saw in A-Day. It was pretty dope, man. He came out throwing dimes, but it also was a scrimmage game. We've never seen any quarterback sit in the pocket that comfortable doing a Bama game, but, of course, it was against Bama, and he was able to kind of do what he wanted to do. I'm letting somebody on. What up, Billy B?
What's up with you? What's up with you, Bonzo? Happy
man,
birthday
Billy
to
Bad
you, brother.
Is on the show. What you got going, Billy Bad? I was just going all around the SEC, man, making the rounds. I was actually just talking about what's new going on at Bama right now. First, I covered Tennessee. They flipped a commit from Tennessee. Bama did, man. I was just saying it's just Bama being Bama. But what's the guy's name that they flipped, Billy? Do you have any idea?
I know it was the number one punter. And, Alabama used to didn't even give scholarships to punters. They walked on. But since J.K. Scott came in and he'd been a key in a lot of wins, from flipping bad field position into good field position for the defense. So I guess they started looking at that. And this kid's supposed to be A1 punter. So
and you know what? And that's you're absolutely right. And you just hit some real fine tips. And to me, it's just like I said, it's just Bama being Bama, man. As we watch over the years, Nick Saban continues to evolve. I mean, at one time they had the thing saying Bama wouldn't offer a dual-threat quarterback. Nick Saban, not only has he offered dual-threat quarterback, like here lately, he's become dual-threat quarterback Jay Coker, dual-threat quarterback. We can go down the line. Now he's evolving.
Hey, a lot of people don't know that about Jay. A lot of people don't know that about Jay. I know you was in the area when Jay Coker was in high school. Yeah. And
yeah,
Jay Coker was a monster.
You're absolutely right. The boy got some wheels. Now, a lot of people, like you said.
And he would have been more deadlier than he was if he wouldn't have gained all that weight at Florida State.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. You can rewind that back, just speaking of Jay Coker, to the 2016 Iron Bowl. No, the 2015 Iron Bowl. Whenever Carl Lawson had the bead on him, and he shimmies right out and throws a touchdown pass. That's Carl Lawson. We talking about a NFL bound defensive end, and he just darted right around him with no problem. And we saw what he's capable of, man. But you know, as I was saying, Bama continues to evolve. Nick Saban is now evolving to the special teams part. I mean, we remember the. What was it, the national championship? Not this year's national championship, but the year before when they had a special teams kick, you know, that sealed the win against Clemson. So,
yeah, that was our kicker that struggled all year kicking field goals. But,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right. So it's saving continues to be saving. First of all, this guy's a three-star punter. He's a three-star punter. Okay, when you hear don't.
Well, you know, punters don't get five stars.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. That's what I thought. You're absolutely right. So whenever you see these three-star punters, just to put things in perspective.
That's all they're doing is punting, you know.
was a three-star. He was a two-star. Daniel Carson was a two-star.
Yeah.
He's a two-star punter. So that kind of tells you, you know, that this guy's a major player. And for Saban to go at him like that, and actually not only this. See, this is what a lot of people don't get with Bama. Bama has – they have a lot of offers out there. There are a lot of kids out there with Bama offers. But there's only a handful of kids who can commit right now to one of those offers, who Bama would take their commitment right now. And for Nick Saban to make way for a punter, that to me, that says a lot about that kid, man. That's just my opinion. Anything else going on at Bama right now? Any NFL news with Bama, Billy?
You know, everybody's I've been looking at AR.com talking about how slow the commitments are this year. They only have four or five in the class. But, you know, they are so loaded that kids are weighing the options. You know what I mean? You have to weigh your options. I mean, let's not be crazy. If you freshman and sophomore heavy, you know, you have to weigh your options unless you think you can go out there and beat that freshman or that sophomore out of their positions. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Auburn to get a lot of commitments in the later round.
But you know what, Billy? It seems that's a common theme around the SEC right now. Like no one has a lot of commitments, and I think a lot of it has to do with exactly what you just said, man. Kids are weighing more options now. They're looking at a lot more. Kids aren't just going to SEC schools because they're SEC schools anymore, or committing to SEC schools just because they're SEC schools anymore. These kids are now valuing playing time. And honestly, I'm kind of a big fan of it, man. I'm kind of a big fan of the players taking things into their own hands.
Lonzo, you said a lot right then, but I'm going to tell you this. If Florida State happens to beat Alabama in their first game, that opens up even more avenues for kids because Florida State is a good recruiting school, but they will start getting the top-notch kids as well. Not that they hadn't been getting them, but I'm talking about a whole class. We're talking about the number two or number one class or number three class in the year because of the fact that Clemson has already done it. They beat Alabama. You see how Clemson's recruiting classes are now. Ohio State has beat Alabama. You see how they recruiting classes are. If Florida State pulls off this, Look out, because the ACC is going to start getting stacked as well.
And you know what, Billy? I'm gonna say something to that. I'm gonna throw some gas on what you just said. The last time Auburn beat Alabama, was 2013. From 2014 all the way until last year, all the way into this last recruiting class, Auburn's been in the top 10. And a lot of that directly came from that trip to the national championship against Florida State. That's a lot of that stuff came from there. And what you just
Texas
said,
A&M.
Like whenever a team beats Alabama, it opens up. Look at Ole Miss. Look at Ole Miss. Well, I think a lot of that
has Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Texas A&M, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Texas A&M and Ole Miss have both benefited off beating Alabama.
Hey, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right, man. But, you know, I hear a lot of people say the thing about, you know, getting a top five recruiting class, a top 10 recruiting class. But I'm going to say this. There's a big difference. Like right now, there's a humongous difference between the number one class and the number two class. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because Bama's been consistently number one for the last 7 years, and everyone else has kind of fluctuated. You know, a lot of the big boys in college football, they've fluctuated around the top 10. But one of those years, they might be number three. But another year, they might be number 10, you know, in recruiting. So even though they keep getting these top 10 recruiting classes, Bama's building on top of number one recruiting class. They continue to build, to pile talent on top of talent on top of talent with number one recruiting classes. You know, some of these other big-time programs, they might have had a number two recruiting class last year, but the year before they might have had a number 10. You know, so you got a number two and a number 10 recruiting class basically going up against a number five or six, number one, you know, straight recruiting classes. So, you know, I think Bama's really that far ahead of everyone else when it comes to recruiting. I believe that. I mean, it shows on the field. It shows in
stats. You know, I hate to see.
He does it.
I hate to see. We got five running backs, man, that I'm going to say two of them could be starting. Well, all of them could be starting anywhere else. Anywhere else. And I'm going to hate to see a couple of them go. I'm going to hate to see that. Because there's no way, special teams, there's not enough balls. Special teams, offense, kickoffs, there's not enough balls to go around for all them guys to keep them happy. And there are some studs, just like Kamari that went to Tennessee, just like the kid that passed that went to junior college and got in trouble and passed. Over there, and Thin Penny.
Yeah, but you know what?
That was from Memphis.
You know what, Billy?
Those kids are first. Those are first round kids, dude. I'm telling you.
No doubt.
First round talent.
No doubt. But I'll say this, man. Like I said, there aren't enough balls to go around. However, man, I've been impressed with what Nick Saban has been able to do. You know, with that caliber, with the caliber of running backs he have on campus, how he utilizing. I mean, people sleep on what happened last year with Bama in their running game. A lot of people sleep on it, man. You had Bo Scarborough.
Mm-hmm.
You had Damien. You had Jalen Hurts, man. You had it was so many people touching that ball. And one thing that people forgot about, that offensive line, man. that offensive line. There were
I know what he's done. See, what a lot of
blocking.
People.
Run blocking.
What a lot of people.
Run blocking. World graders.
Hey, what a lot of people don't know, he's essentially built two teams out of what he has. He has a speed offense, and he has a run power offense. A lot of people don't even realize that. That's the only way I see that he's doggone and convinced these kids to buy into this program. And I know he done it on defense because you've seen that. When he run against the spread, it's a totally different defense. When he run against the power, it's a totally different defense. Well, I think that he has that on offense now, too, with the type of backs and the type of wide receivers that he had. I really do.
You know what, man? I think he does, man. But you know, I think this year is unique. This is a unique year for Saban, and a unique year for all the years that he's had at Alabama. Because at no point while at University of Alabama do I think that he's had actually two quarterbacks on campus. Two quarterbacks. One who has proven, you know, that he's ready to take you to the promised land, and another that has proven that he may be a better fit in the offense than, you know, Jalen Hurts. You know, for everything I'm hearing, I'll say this. For one thing that Nick Saban doesn't do, well, one thing that I don't get from him is he don't pump a lot of sunshine. He doesn't pump a lot of sunshine. He don't pump a lot of sunshine, man. And for everything that I hear, they believe in this kid, man. I said earlier in the show, you know, that I'll be shocked, man. I'll be shocked if the freshman ends up playing, you know, a significant role. But if he does, Alabama actually has the receivers there. I mean, the receivers that they're recruiting, that they've recruited are, I mean, top notch. Jerry Judy? I mean, really?
I'm telling you, there are kids on that team right now, receiver, that's been waiting, that's juniors and redshirt juniors and redshirt sophomores, that is the bomb, I'm telling you.
Yeah, man.
Time for Robert Foster. Just remember this name, Robert Foster. You remember I told you this
Robert
tonight.
Robert Foster is a senior. Robert Foster, isn't he a senior now? He's finally a senior?
Yes.
I think he's finally
just,
a senior.
Just
man,
remember
and,
that name. Just remember that
yeah.
name when I tell you. Everybody's going to say where he's been.
Yeah.
He's been hurt. He's just been hurt.
And you know what? I'm gonna put something
else
out there
he's
for
you. He's a junior. He's a junior
because
he had Calvin Ridley on the bench until his injury opened up the door for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah,
they're in the same class.
Yeah, you're right.
They're in the same class.
You're right, man.
But let's move
I'm
on.
Gonna
let's
tell
move on to Auburn, man, here. Because that's the I think that's the sleeper. The sleeper team this year. I really do.
I agree. I got some things I want to share about Auburn, but let's talk about Bama, man, because there are some interesting things about Bama that I've been reading, and I think it's really cool, man. For one thing, I really do think that a lot of people talk about defense and they talk about all this stuff, man, but I'm going to tell you a piece that Bama won't have this year. That I think is a big deal, man. O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard was a big deal. Even though, you know, Bama didn't use O.J. Howard as much as probably he feels like he should be used or Bama fans feel like they should be used, he was so dangerous. O.J. Howard as a player was so dangerous that he literally had to be accounted for, you know, every play. He had to be accounted for. He wasn't a tight end that you could sleep on or just expect to block every play. He was actually a danger of taking it for six. So one thing that I've been hearing, Bama has a tight end, you know, coming up to replace, you know, O.J. Howard.
They sure do.
But those
they sure do.
Passes, they do. But those little short passes that Bama likes to throw, I've been hearing a lot about Najee Harris, like, being absolutely elite at catching passes, like almost at a level that where he could play wide receiver if he decided not to play running back. Like he could transfer
yeah.
to wide receiver
hey,
like
hey.
That. So
do
I'm not
remember,
saying that they're gonna have
hey,
him playing
out.
Tight end.
Look, do you remember the first play of the game when Blake Sims was playing quarterback when we went to Florida and they put Kendrick Drake in the backfield, motioned him out, got a linebacker on him. He motioned in the wide receiver. He motioned in Calvin Ridley, went across the field, left Blake on Drake on the outside with a linebacker, and he went for I'm talking about first play of the game. He went for like 80 yards on a pass play.
Yeah.
He can find – they're going to find the mismatches. You know what I mean? So if a linebacker trying to stick the kid, they're going to put him in there. Put him in the slot. He's going to come from the backfield to the slot. The linebacker's going to have to go over there over him. They motion everybody else from the other side over there, from that side, and you one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody we have listening to the show, you want to call in and comment? You can call in at 323-870-4081. If you want to comment, once again, you can call in the show at 323-870-4081. And Billy, what you just said, you're absolutely right, man. I'm telling you, man, I look at that roster. I look at that roster, man, and there are, like you say, man, there are guys on campus who are absolutely, you know, they're pretty amazing, man. And, man, I'm looking for Bama to be Bama. I'm looking for Bama to be Bama. And they're gonna be hard to beat, man. They're going to be hard to beat.
I'm going to tell you this. And everybody say, you know, our counterpart G always says, why go to Bama when you got all these people in front of you? Well, anybody remember Doug Johnson that went to Florida State, played quarterback? He played a long time in the NFL. He didn't start a game at Florida State. There are players right now from Alabama that's getting calls, free agent calls, and play on these teams and end up making a team. So is Auburn. So is Auburn players. So a bunch of players in the SEC get those calls.
That's right. That's right, man. You know, and honestly, you know, I got to respect it, but I'm gonna call these. These are the Bama running backs on campus right now. This is just crazy to me. Here we go. First up, we got Big Bo. Bo Scarborough, no need for an introduction. Mr. Run You Over. Mr. If he hadn't a guy hurt in the national
he's not proven,
game,
though. He's not proven.
Alabama fans think they would have won. So, you
he's
know,
not
that's Bo
he's
Scarborough.
Not proven.
Bo Scarborough, he's not healthy. He hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. Now,
exactly.
He is proven.
He's not proven to me. He's not proven to me. No.
Okay.
He hadn't
okay.
finished the
I
game. He hadn't had ahead. A. He hadn't had a whole game. He hadn't. Name me a whole game.
Injury bug
himself.
Has not been good to Mr. Scarborough. The injury bug definitely
all
hasn't
right.
been good to Mr. Scarborough. So I'm
well, I'm just saying
up.
he's not proven. Yeah, go to the next one.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Najee Harris, a phenomenal athlete. If I had to compare him to anyone right now, man, I'd just say Todd Gurley. And to me, just thinking about Todd Gurley playing in an Alabama uniform, you got to respect it. I mean, you got to know that this kid going to put up some numbers, bar an injury. But he is a freshman. But from everything coming out of Bama camp, the kid is amazing, man. The kid is absolutely amazing. A lot of people –
Once again.
A lot of people won't – huh?
Once again, not proven. But
Najee Harris,
he's
all right.
He's Derrick Henry like as a freshman because everybody remember Derrick Henry coming into the game that was already decided by Oklahoma downs back to back. That's the type
That's right.
of player I think he is.
That's right. We have Damian Harris. Honestly, I love the way Damian Harris runs the ball, man. I think Damian Harris, if I'm up right now, if I'm up 10 points in the fourth quarter, I trust Damian Harris to put the game away. I believe, man. He's a nasty little one, man, and he just runs.
Damian Harris.
He's just one of those that gets it done. He gets it done.
Damian Harris to me.
Yeah.
To me.
He's Mark Ingram mm-hmm. at Alabama.
Wow. But those are some big elusive words, Billy Beane.
I mean, shifting this at the line, find the hole, hit it, get downfield, going to get you 7, 8, if not 80, every down.
And you know what? I agree. I can't disagree with that, man. Only thing Damian Harris has done is move the ball forward. He did it last year when Bo was out, when Bo was hurt. He moves the ball, man. He's effective. And honestly, he's one of those, man. If he could be a feature back, somewhere, man, I think he could put up some serious numbers, man. That's just my opinion. But I like Damian Harris a lot. And so he is proven. You'll say he is proven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
I like
B.J. Emmons.
He's 35. Huh?
B.J. Emmons. A lot of people don't know much
BJ's
about
been,
the kid.
Yes. He's been banged up. He's like Bo. He's been that foot. He's banged up.
Man, if you guys really want to see, because I don't think you'll ever get a chance to see B.J. Emmons at Bama, but go
exactly.
look at his high school highlights. Go look
yes.
at his high school highlights.
I think B.J. is the one. I think B.J. is the one that flees.
He is an animal. Yes. Yes. The boy can fly. B.J. Emmons, man, and we're going to go with Brian Robinson Jr., man. He was a late addition to the party last year, man. And he is
yeah.
an animal, too. I mean, some of the stuff that
he
said coming out of Bama, I mean, they say this is one of the kids that you just really don't even want to tackle in practice. You don't want to deal with.
Right.
Brian Robinson, man, I just – and once again, it'll be a while before you get a chance to see Brian Robinson Jr. suit up at Alabama. Go check out his high school highlight tape, man. I'll put some footage up. But the kid, man, that kid is he's definitely a car, man. He ain't no joke. So that's Bama's backfield, man. And let's don't forget, let's don't forget another good running back Bama had. I mean, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, man, he's at
– Hold on, dude. What about what's his name? Almost the second lead in Russia, Jacobs. The Lucas Jacobs.
Oh, you talking about what's his name, man?
Josh Jacobs.
Shoot, man, that's
he was
amazing.
The second lead of Russia.
Yeah, man, they're just
that low. That's my man. That's mine. He can catch out of the backfield. He make people miss. And we talk about these
uh-huh.
stars. He was three star. He was a three star coming out of Utah.
Uh huh. And he was the latest
freshman.
Yes. He was the latest.
Only scholarship offered.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane, man. That's
talking
insane,
about
man.
Taking
gonna...
the care. Talking about taking taking your whatever opportunity you gave serious.
Yeah.
He was second leading
yeah,
Russia
man,
last
but,
year.
And Bama just got it, man. I mean, they just really just got it, man. You talking about Josh Jacobs, man. Josh Jacobs, he's from Oklahoma, man. He is an animal, man.
Yeah, Oklahoma,
him,
my bad. I said Utah.
They got him everywhere, man. They literally have, you know, running backs everywhere. They're good, man. And you know what, man? I think Bo Scarborough, he'll end up being a high NFL draft pick. I think Damian Hare, you know, last year, no matter – Bo Scarborough, you know, was the big talk last year. But like you said, he couldn't stay healthy. So Damian Hare has actually led the team. He was the only one to break 1,000 yards last year was Damian Harris. Like you said, man, Josh Jacobs showed a lot of flashes, man. And like I said, man, B.J. Emmons could start on most teams. He could start on most teams. And
everyone
I mean, Najee Harris is an animal. Najee Harris is an animal, man. And you know what, man, another thing that I want to talk about before we move on to Auburn, man, let's go ahead and talk about the defensive side of the ball with Bama real quick, man.
Yeah.
You know what? But I'm gonna bring one name up. I can't move from the offensive side of the ball without mentioning the behemoth, Alex Leatherwood, man. Alex Leatherwood is another one of those freshman offensive tackles that Bama just signed, man. And, man, when you see the guy literally looks like he has on football pads when he doesn't have on football pads. Let's be serious. The kid looks like he has on football pads when he doesn't have on football pads. The guy looks a lot like DJ Fluka, where he is just massive, man. He is a massive guy, and they've just been talking about his strength. So look out for him, man. I think he's going to do pretty well, okay? I'm going to move to the defensive side of the ball. Man, I tell you, man, Bama they're going to be replacing a lot on defense, However, it's Bama. It's Bama and water is wet. It's Bama, water is wet. And, I mean, they are replacing superstars with superstars, man. We're going to go first up, Rashawn Evans. Man, Rashawn Evans, a lot of Auburn fans are probably, they spit every time they hear Rashawn Evans' name, spit on the ground. Rashawn Evans was Auburn legacy who ended up choosing Bama over Auburn. Look, man, if you need to know who he is, go watch the national championship game, not last year's national championship game, but the year before. You can watch last year's national championship game. He was pretty effective in that game as well. Well, at the beginning of that game. But Rashawn Evans is a baller, man. He is an absolute baller. He's going to be there. He's a tackling machine, man. He's absolutely awesome. Everybody's wondering how Reuben Foster is going to be replaced. But you got Rashawn Evans. And don't forget Mack Wilson. Don't forget Mack Wilson, man.
Exactly.
In fact, we have a viral video out right now. Go check out Mack Wilson. Hey, Mack Wilson, I appreciate you sharing that video for me, Mack. I appreciate that. But Mack Wilson, man, I mean, Bama just got – they got some killers, man. Go ahead.
Don't sleep on the freshman, Dylan Moses. Moses. Don't sleep
on
him.
You know what, man?
Hello? Bonzo? Did I lose my co-host? Bonzo. Well, actually, he was talking about Dylan Moses. And I compare him to a C.J. Mosley. Rolamo McClain. Y'all have to excuse me because my show is sponsored by Ciroc. And that's what we do. We're not the drink champs, but we are the uppercut barbershop talk football / sports with the drinks. So I'm just trying to stall until I get my counterpart back on the phone. Can't hear you, Bonzo. You just text me, but I can't hear you. Can't hear me, Bonzo. Anyway, we having tech text me and told me that he's off air, but hopefully he can get this we can get this situated. But anyway, I want to move on to Auburn because I think Auburn is one of the most sleepy teams there are. Everybody's trying to be quiet when they got a quarterback that can sling that thing. He's proven. See, I go on statistics, and he's proven that he can sling that thing all over the field. However, I want to see how he's going to react when he gets punched in the mouth. I want to see how he's going to react when he get hit in the face and doggone, you know, a couple of times. Because he's going to get that in the SEC.
He's going to get that.
You know, I want to see that and see how he reacts to that. And then that would tell the tale. Because all the rest of the quarterbacks on Auburn offense has been, you know, they've been in the SEC battleship. And they know the deal. But it's going to tell when he gets in there and put on. I'm going to say whenever they play Clemson, the defensive front probably going to get pressure on him. He's not going to be able to sit like he did at Baylor and just sit back and toss balls everywhere. That's not going to happen in the SEC.
Billy.
You know. Yes.
Billy. Can you hear me?
How we doing, G? Yes, I can hear you, G-Dub. I was just talking about Sinem and
yeah, I was listening. I didn't know I was on yet, but I was listening. I agree
okay.
with you mostly on that, everything you said, especially
right.
about he having a talent. But, again, we're talking about SEC versus Baylor.
Right.
You got
Correct.
Guys coming at you that you've never – I'm not saying the Big 12. Are they in the Big 12 or – Yeah, Big 12 is not as competitive as the SEC, but I will say that I don't think he's seen the caliber talent that he'll see throughout the year when he plays with SEC talent. I'll just say that.
I agree. I agree.
I'm anxious to see. Let's just put it that way. Being a football guy as well as an Auburn fan, I'll step out on a limb and say I'm anxious to see. I'm not completely sold on Jarrett Stidham, but we do have more hope than we've had in a while. I'll go out on a limb and say that.
Well,
I'm hoping that they
I'll say
can
this.
Make it happen.
Since we're talking about Auburn, I'm going to, y'all don't mind, man, I'll cover a couple of new things, you know, that's went on with Auburn this week. G. Willis, I don't know how much of the show you heard before you got here, but we kind of covered Alabama. Tonight we covered Alabama running back. And some recruiting things going on with Bama. We're going to kind of do the same thing with Auburn, man. Just kind of cover Auburn's offense, some of their defense, just kind of what they have going on for the year. First and foremost, you know, this week, Auburn has finally gotten their staff together. Auburn just completed their staff. They made a lot of new hires. One of the biggest things coming out of Auburn right now is a real big push for Auburn to join the SEC East. A lot of people are talking about that. They're saying geographically it doesn't make any sense for Auburn to be in the SEC West and Missouri's in the SEC East. So that was a big push for that. But honestly, it sounds like to me as Pat Dye is trying to run from tough competition. But as we know, that makes no sense because the SEC normally flips. You know, there was a long time when the SEC East just beat the hell out of the SEC West. So, you know, things change, times change, coaches change, players change, schemes change. So, I'm not a big fan of Auburn moving to the East. I'm a traditional guy. Another thing coming out of Auburn right now is they're having some recruiting things going on. They just had Big Cat weekend. This is
yeah,
the first Big
Cat
that Auburn has had, and they
Cat.
Didn't get a commitment. Go ahead. They didn't.
They did
Auburn
get
didn't
a
get
commitment.
A commitment. However, even though they didn't get a commitment, per Gus Malzahn said that this was the best Big Cat that they've had so far. And I actually talked to someone who was there, and I asked them, what did Gus Malzahn mean by that? What did he mean by this being the best Big Cat that he's had so far? And evidently, what he was able to do at this Big Cat that he hadn't been able to do previously at other Big Cats was kind of have things more organized, where he spent better time and better time with players, where he learned if he even wanted to recruit players any farther or learn how hard he wanted to recruit people. So evidently things are more coordinated. He likes how things work better. He likes a new recruiting coordinator. So according to Gus, but we all know Gus is notorious for pumping sunshine now. Gus is notorious for telling you a couple pieces, a couple lemonade. So that's what he said. So that's something that's coming out of Auburn right now, man. And the new players are on campus. One of the big players came on campus. I just spoke about Alabama's Alec Leatherwood.
there were two linemen, two offensive linemen commitments in the SEC last year that I think were pretty big deals. One of those was Alex Leatherwood for Alabama, and the other one was Calvin Ashley for Auburn. Calvin Ashley is actually a monster, too. Auburn also has two grad transfers coming in on the line, one an All-American in, what would we call it, D2 football, and the other guy was actually a former five-star player from FSU, and also bringing Calvin Ashley into the fold. So Auburn's offensive line going to look a little different this year, man. So that's kind of the wrap up of what's been going on this week. The guy from Texas? Well, Darius James.
Yeah.
You know, Darius James started last year. And Darius James is an excellent run blocker. He's an excellent run blocker, but that's the thing. That's one thing about Darius James. In fact, that's one thing about Auburn's line, offensive line that no one knows. Everyone's talking about Jared Stidham's ability to pass. You know, a lot of people talk about his ability to pass. They're talking about, you know, Auburn kind of moving to more of a pass-heavy offense. But I'm going to say this. You know, Auburn's offensive line hasn't had to, quote-unquote, pass block, you know, in years. In years. They haven't been asked to traditionally pass block. So that's one thing that Auburn's offense is supposed to be moving more to. It's a more traditional passes. Of course, they're going to do the RPOs. But they're supposed to install a lot more traditional passes, and that's something that we haven't seen much of Auburn's offensive line, and that may have something to do with these grad transfers that we see rolling in, man. And that's you can speak on that a little bit more, G. But that's been my observation. I've been reading a couple of things about that. Go ahead, G.
I'm wondering. I mean, just based off how the offense has been set up for the past. 7 years, we'll say that, 7 years, how would they adjust to not being a run-heavy offense? When you have running backs, the style of running backs that we have, how will that affect the running backs that we have? You know, Cam Petway is a downhill runner. Will he still have the same holes available with a pass-heavy type offense? Now, traditionally, you would say yes because they're spreading field. But the type of offense they run with the type of, you know, the motion type offense they run, I mean, that's great for a Cam Petway type running back. But I'm just anxious to see how all this pans out when they're all full speed and playing high caliber, because I'm not going to say SEC football, but high caliber football. I just can't. I'm very anxious to see how that pans out.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these guys that are transferring in, I'm anxious to see that, too. I mean, because you got to wonder with the JUCO guy, that was it the D2 or JUCO, where the guy came from? Seen this type of talent?
You talking about the guy from Jacksonville State now. I'm going to tell you something. The guy from Jacksonville State was a center. He's an All-American center. He was an All-American center last year, and I'll tell you this. If you think that guy can't – now, he can ball. He can ball. And honestly, I went back when I saw that Auburn was getting him. I went back and watched LSU play against Jacksonville State, and I watched this guy manhandle LSU defensive lineman. That was impressive to me. And honestly, my personal feeling, if you can get in the trenches against with LSU, I mean, you can get down with the best of them. But like I said, that was one game, and like we all know, the thing about SEC is you have to be able to do that every single week.
Every single week.
Every single week. So, was he able to do it for one game? He was.
Was it a freshman?
No, man. He went against the best of the best, man. And I mean, I even saw him smoke the middle linebacker a few times, man. He's a little nasty kid, man, and Auburn was really, really glad to pick him up, man. And one reason they were glad to pick him up, because right now Auburn has what they feel may be one of their better guards playing center, Austin Golson. They have him playing center because last year Xavier Dampier didn't work out. You remember last year Auburn made the changes within their line, and they began rushing for all those yards. Is because they put Austin Golson at center. But Austin Golson was actually better fit at tackle or guard, but he's just playing center because he was their last choice. So they're feeling like with this guy coming in, they may be able to move Austin Gholson somewhere else on the line to get a little bit more productive. So, but as I said, with Auburn's offense changing a little bit, you know, we will see some hiccups. We will see some hiccups on that offensive line.
I am expecting it.
And speaking of offense, guys, I'll give you a quick rundown of the offense, man, and you guys can chop it up real quick. This is just some of the new stuff that we have coming, you know, to Auburn offensively. For one thing, man, Auburn has eight starters returning on offense. In my opinion, some of the better players to watch on offense right now are going to be Jared Stidham. You got Cameron Petway, who's the second-team All-American in a lot of people's picks, man. A lot of people have a lot banking on Cameron Petway. A lot of people believe that he is one of the top running backs in the nation. You have Kerryon Johnson, who we all know how G feels about Kerryon. Kerryon almost put up 1,000 yards last year. Not as natural a running
good
back thing as a lot of other running backs in the SEC, but he does get it done. He's got it done since his freshman year. Got to get credit where credit is due. Braden Smith, offensive tackle, he's an All-American, man. A lot of people look for Braden Smith to do really well. He's one of the best run blockers in college football. In fact, a lot of people feel if he would have entered the draft this year, he would have went as high as the third, maybe second round. Of course, you're going to have – of course, the strengths are going to be depth at quarterback. You know, if Jarrett Stidham doesn't work out, we've all seen what Sean White is capable of. Is Sean White a championship-level quarterback? No, he is not. But did Sean White conduct two games against SEC teams where Auburn went out and just did whatever they wanted to do? He did it. So as far as I'm concerned, until Jarrett Stidham proves otherwise, Sean White is the more experienced quarterback. But it's good to have – I think Sean White may be the best backup in the SEC. Maybe the best, well, the best, most experienced backup in the SEC. Some of the problems that I see, you know, Auburn had a great receiver class a year ago. They had the first number one receiver class in the country. They brought in Nate Craig Myers, Eli Stowe. They brought in all types of guys, man. Kyle Davis, Auburn finally has that receiver who kind of just doesn't give a damn. Kyle Davis arrived back on campus and said, "Daddy's home." He arrived back on campus, and that was the first thing he tweeted was, "Daddy's home." So he's one of these guys with the attitude, a lot of talent. I look for him to put up some big numbers, man. And honestly, on paper, Auburn looks really good from top to bottom. Auburn continued to recruit the top 10. Auburn has top 10 caliber talent on campus for every position. They have depth at every position on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm not sold on running back.
The jury's out.
Not sold on running back yet.
Okay, go ahead, G.
Wait, we got
that was
Cam Petway.
The breakdown. You can go ahead, G.
Right. Cam Petway is a great running back. But to me, you know, he's more of a bruiser, even though he can get into the secondary and make some stuff happen. But that quick back, that I think we're still missing that every down quick back. Even though let me stop there. Cam Petway isn't every down back, but he's not that elusive back that we need. We still Kerryon Johnson again. If you haven't listened to my feedback on him, I think he's a pretty good safety. Running back, you know, I'm pretty sure Billy could get 500 yards rushing with that line and that type of offense that Auburn has. They had quite a few guys that put up some yards at running back with Auburn last year. I mean, we had a stable of guys. I think we have you bouncing in and out. Say again, Billy.
I said it depends on who we're playing.
Well, exactly. That's my point, though. But that's my whole point. I mean, we still need a dynamic, elusive back, not just a bruiser. We don't have that guy that once he gets past the linebackers, he's gone. Do we have that guy?
Well, you know what, man? That guy, those guys do exist at Auburn. They're just not they're not any proven guys, man. But you know what? I'm going to bring up a few guys who's on Auburn campus, man, who kind of fit that bill that you're talking about, man. I'm going to tell you something, man. That kid, Cameron Martin is actually a burner, man. He seems to have the fumbleitis, you know, bug right now, you know, which is not good at all. However, man, you see this guy, you'll see him get open sometimes or do some things, and he has that speed. He does have that speed, man. But as you were saying about Cameron Petway, Cameron Petway, man, he is honestly he gets it done, man. He gets it done. He doesn't look that fast on the field. I think it's because he's so big, man. But I actually watched him last year run away from some people. You know, run away from some pretty fast people, man. However, it's just I can see why you feel the way you do, G, about, you know, him not being quote unquote full package. But like I say, he kind of gets it done, man. You guys, I'm gonna give you a rundown on the defense. What we have on the defense, what Auburn has on the defense, I'm sorry. That was a little bit of my Auburn fanmanship coming out. However, what Auburn has on defense, coming back, Auburn has. Now, this has been impressive, and I have to give Gus Malzahn credit where credit is due. The one thing that Gus Malzahn has done since he's been at Auburn is recruited well. He's recruited well. He has the players on campus, and I think, honestly, that's why so many people are pissed off at him. You know, it's not like he doesn't have the players. He just doesn't win the game. So, and at the end of the day, that's what it's about. But what I'm speaking of with that is I got to give the defensive line credit, man. This year coming back, you know, they have Marlon Davidson and Derrick Brown, who were both true freshmen last year. I mean, look for those guys to make a lot of noise. I think that was pretty impressive for Auburn to be able to replace defensive linemen with the caliber of Montrevious Adams and Carl Lawson with these two guys, you know, Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson. Linebacker, you got Trey Williams, man. That's a Mobile native. And honestly, man, Trey Williams, in my opinion, it wouldn't shock me if Trey Williams ended up being one of the better linebackers, if he made first or second team All-SEC this year. Injuries have kind of hampered him, man, but from all I'm hearing, he's finally healthy. He's going to get his opportunity. The linebacker, everyone loves Travis Williams, Auburn's linebacker coach / ex-player, man. So they're looking for this guy to do real well. And, of course, you got Deshaun Davis. You have Carlton Davis. And you know what? I'll tell you another good defensive player. Last year he was one of Auburn's best defensive players, but he didn't win any defensive awards at all. But it was the punter, Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson continuously put Auburn's opponents in bad positions all last year, man. He's an amazing special teams player. He punts, he kicks field goals, he does it all. I don't think he got a lot of credit last year for what he done. Potential problems, like I said, Carl Lawson and defensive tackle Montrevious Adams are both gone. And Rudy Ford. Rudy Ford is gone. So that's a big
thing.
What you got about Auburn's defense?
Well, I mean, they got a lot of players, man. I'm anxious to see again some of the guys that, you know, came in and we're still waiting for them to produce. We got one of the top players coming out of high school who it made a position change this year. Anxious to see what he's going to do. We got some more guys. I mean, it's a lot of guys, a lot of big names on that defense that we're waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, they have the coaching there. The defensive backfield, I think, will be better. Everybody should be better on defense this year, to be completely honest with you. Rudy Ford is a huge loss, and I think Josh Holsey is going to be a bigger loss than expected as well, because with the leadership that he brought to the team, that's going to be huge to replace. But again, I don't think defense is going to be the issue this year. I think the unproven quarterback and offense is going to be completely it. And just reading some of the feedback, and this is not what we don't do on the show at all. But some of the feedback I was reading on Twitter about Auburn and their ranking this year was like, how can you give an average team a top 10 ranking? They've always been average, and I thought about that, and that, I mean. And it's not. I think they're underachievers mainly because of coaching. I don't want to get on that and stick on that tonight, but coaching is a major issue. I think the players are there, but until they fix the coaching situation at Auburn, I don't think they will. I still think we're a 2-3 loss team this year. I definitely think, even with the schedule they have, I think they're going to lose 2 to 3 games this year. And I'm saying that pretty early.
You know what?
I know we normally say that.
I'm not ready to Dean. Go ahead.
Hold on, Bonzo. You mentioned a guy. You said the field goal kicker and the punter. I think if the field goal kicker don't be on your team, I think your coach gone already this year. He wouldn't even be there this year. You had the best kicker in the nation that won at least 3 games for you this year, last year, that your coach wouldn't even be on the sideline. He wouldn't even be on the sideline. So that punting stuff, talking about keeping them on the other end, that's irrelevant. Your field goal kicker kept your coach job. So he should be the most coziest person on campus right now.
I agree. I can't disagree. I mean, LSU, our buddy Les Miles probably hates the field goal kicker. And like I said, the guy was honestly, like you said, the most important player on Auburn's roster last year. He was the most important player on Auburn's roster last year. Like I said, not only did he kick field goals, but he also punted the ball and kept defense. That was one thing that Auburn did well last year. Defense played a lot better. And the punter continues. He backed the offense up several times.
Let me tell you, I
agree.
Against Vanderbilt.
Go ahead.
Against Vanderbilt, he punted a lot. But he ultimately won the game kicking the ball. Because your defense didn't do nothing against Vanderbilt. Okay. I'm saying there's about 3 games that punting didn't have nothing to do with Auburn. Field goal kicking.
I disagree with you on that now, Billy, because punting is field position.
Okay.
So punting is –
if you punt to the team,
and they have a 50-yard drive.
I'm telling you that there's 3 games that he punted in that your defense didn't do nothing. LSU, Vanderbilt, and I can come up with another one, but where he kicked field goals to win the game in those games.
Okay, so you're saying the defense didn't do anything? The defense held LSU to 13 points. They held Vanderbilt to 16
points. But what did you score?
I didn't score anything.
I'm telling you, your field goal kicker won at least 3 games last year for you guys.
And I'm not arguing that at all. I'm not arguing that
and
at all.
I'm
but
saying,
I just think that he was significant playing the ball as well.
Hey, and I'm talking about A&M, Alabama A&M.
Okay.
I'm just talking about teams that your coach wouldn't even have his job if it wasn't for that field goal kicker, not no punter.
What I'm telling you is this, Billy. Billy.
Well, tell me.
Bonzo. Listen.
The punter
was a significant part of Auburn's defense last year. Continuously putting people in bad positions, I think Auburn's punting had something to do with that. Continuously backing people up, it brought down the scoring average of other teams, and he did win games via field goal. I'm not arguing that he didn't win games via field goal. I mean, that's how they beat LSU. But the defense also held LSU to, 13 points?
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
I think all this is a little premature. I'm real skeptical this year about Auburn. I mean, I'm just saying, guys.
I think they're sleeper myself. I really do.
You think they what?
I think they're sleeper. I really do. Auburn is always.
You gotta look at it like this, Billy. I mean, okay, let's just say this. Alabama, we know nobody can compete with their recruiting. We're not even talking about their play. They're recruiting. Auburn has always recruited well. The athletes have always been there.
the problem has been consistently is coaching. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but no, I don't. I don't hate. It's coaching. I mean, we can talk about this stuff until we blew in the face, but at the end of the day, it's up to Coach Malzahn, and will he bow down and let somebody completely take over that offense, completely be and just be a leader for those guys? They love him, but for some reason, they're not disciplined. The boys love that guy, the ones that he does right by, because, you know, everybody's not – you can't make everybody happy. That's that.
Hold on. My daughter's in my ear.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just a lot going on down there that we know, but that some of the stuff we can't talk about in the air, and that's sad because I know me and Monzo both know some dirt that's going on down there right now, but it's just not – we can't talk about it on air right now. But it's just I'm not happy with it, and I Bonzo know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just,
you know what?
How is that
let's
stuff
go
still
through
going
all
on?
My schedule. We don't have a lot of time left. We don't have a lot of time
left
tonight.
10 minute show.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes. No, man, we were actually on about 30 minutes before you got on. But we're gonna I'll go through Auburn's schedule real quick, and you guys just say win or lose. Win or lose.
Lose.
Georgia
lose.
Stuff. Win or lose.
Lose.
All right, I think Auburn wins that one. Georgia Southern. Clemson, win or lose?
I think they win.
I say they win it.
I think it wouldn't shock me if they won that one either. But until he does it, I can't give him that. Dabo Swinney is a much better coach. So I'm going to give it to Clemson. Mercer, win or lose?
Win.
Okay, so the Mercer win, I agree. Missouri, win or lose?
Win.
Mississippi State, win or lose?
Win.
So they beat Mississippi State, but they don't beat Georgia Southern. Ole Miss, win or lose?
Win. And I was joking when I
LSU.
Said that. Don't be an asshole.
LSU.
Guys has 200 yards
at
rushing. It's off.
At Arkansas.
I take Auburn.
Georgia.
I want to go Georgia. At Auburn.
Okay. Louisiana Monroe.
Auburn.
And Alabama.
Alabama.
Okay,
I mean, I picked
so you picked Alabama. You picked Auburn to lose against LSU,
right.
Georgia, and Alabama.
Yep.
And
I picked another
one. I'm saying right here today that if Auburn loses to all three of those schools, then Gus Malzahn may be pursuing Chip Kelly or Bob Stoops. So Auburn will be pursuing those schools, and Gus Malzahn will be out. If Auburn loses to Alabama, Georgia, and LSU this year, it's hard for me to see him making it through this storm. Billy Badd, do you disagree with any of those games?
Do what? What, Bonzo?
So you disagree
with
any of those games that the game that
I think Auburn wins LSU again.
In LSU with their guy with their guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's who they're gonna feature, right. And that's it. I mean, they had a better running back than that. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I
don't know, man.
But they playing
that. I think
Death
Auburn.
Valley. Death Valley this year.
Okay, and. Oh, you guys are scared of Death Valley?
I'm not afraid of Death Valley. I think Gus Malzahn is.
I think
has
they
he
win
ever won
there.
In Death Valley? Has he ever won there?
I don't know about Gus Malzahn, but I know Auburn has.
Oh,
I think
nothing to do with Auburn. It's all about Gus Malzahn. It's all about Gus Malzahn right now.
I think
now.
With a new passing attack. I'm going to tell you exactly how your season going to go after that second game
to see if Stenham get hit in the mouth and he get back up and start throwing the ball again like he did in at Baker. If he gets back up and start throwing the ball, everybody's in for a long season. That's just me.
You know
because
what?
You got a Julio Jones on your team. You got some
no.
young boys that'll go get
no.
the ball.
Who is Julio Jones on Auburn's team?
Please,
there's no Julio Jones in college football right now, in my opinion.
At 18? At 17? I mean, at 19?
Well, there's no Julio Jones right now balling.
Well, who's the
I'm
Julio
sorry.
Jones
I got
like
a lot of respect for that man.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell y'all this, and you can go back and check the film. Julio Jones dropped 50% of his passes at Alabama.
He definitely
it's just
did.
The ones
he
that he
did.
Caught. It's just the mm-hmm. ones that he caught. Now, y'all got a kid, Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You got a kid, a sophomore, that go across the middle and catch everything that they throw to him when they throw it to him. They got
so who's
they
the
got
guy that you're comparing
Jones
him to
on that offense?
Who are you comparing him to?
Huh?
What receiver are you comparing
him
to? Who are
Kyle
you saying
Davis,
is like?
I guess.
Like
I think you're talking about Kyle Davis.
Yes, I'm saying you have a kid that got a quarterback that can throw him the ball. Now he will catch the ball regardless. You guys don't even watch your own doggone team.
Dang. Dang. Man.
Well, hey, I actually think Craig Myers is going to have a big year this year. That was comical. But Craig Myers
is
going to be the better receiver this year. I'm not taking anything away from
I wasn't watching them. I wasn't watching them the way you guys do, but I'm just telling you, a couple of receivers I saw last year going to be.
I agree with you on this. Auburn, like you said, Auburn did recruit the best wide receiver recruiting class in the nation last year. They have some big guys on campus. They have some guys who can go get it, make some magnificent catches. I'm just not willing to crown one of these guys Julio Jones yet. But
okay.
I agree. They do have better wide receivers than they've had in a while.
I understand what Billy meant by that.
In a while.
I understood what he meant.
Okay.
I still don't see anybody close to the talent, even at that level. And I get everything you meant, Billy, by Julio Jones-type talent because of where he was when he was at Alabama. Now, where he is now is –
No, talking about at 19 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't think Auburn has anybody that caliber right now.
All right. Keep watching.
And you say it's Kyle Davis, right?
I don't know which one of them it was, but I seen a game last year where this boy, the ball was thrown behind him. He reached out with one hand, grabbed the ball.
That was one catch. So you
it wasn't just
one catch.
I watched him all. I said I watched the game last year that he just took over a game.
Oh, I saw that game.
Hey,
yeah,
you talking about one catch, but you ain't had nobody throwing the ball.
Sean White?
Yeah, I mean.
Sean White led every passing category in the SEC.
I ain't talking about no 10-yard pass. Y'all keep hollering, Sean White. He ain't threw the ball 15 yards.
Wait, whoa. Don't, it ain't y'all. I get what both of y'all are saying. I definitely do. Now, he definitely was efficient within 10 to 15 yards. But anything past 20 yards, he was not that guy.
And I'm talking about in the beginning of the season, not when his shoulder was hurt.
You know what? I think Bonzo was one of his number one fans at the beginning of the season because he was talking about how he led every category. I mean, he really did. And I get that. But I still don't think he was an effective quarterback because he didn't spread the field. That was my only point. That was my point. And this is before he got hurt. But he did make – I mean, where was Kyle Davis on all of those 10-yard passes he was making? I mean, he made a couple. I only remember really one catch.
They didn't send him 10 yards. They sent him deep.
So you're basing he's Julio Jones off one catch. You know how many kids in college football can catch with one hand now? I would say 60% of them.
G-A-G.
Man, you know how many 7-year-olds on Saturdays catch a ball with one hand?
G. Willis.
I was just asking because you
Bongo.
Know anybody who does. Send them to my team because I need
just
them.
Watch. Just
hey,
watch
just
your
talking.
Team.
I was going to say send them my way.
Well, hey, I watch them, man.
Just watch your team.
I just have this. I'm hoping that you're right. But I watch every game.
It's
I watch
not
every game. I watch every
Alabama
game.
Receivers will be better. Receivers will be better. The passing game will be better.
Just,
but
you,
all I'm, before
just,
I before
gotta,
I crown someone Julio
four.
Jones, before I crown somebody
you
Julio
gotta, you
Jones, I just feel like they're gonna have to prove more. Yes.
You
yes, they do.
More.
They have a receiving
gotta,
core. Yes, they do.
I would say Alabama
they had a receiving core last year.
Julio Jones type receivers. Alabama has those type athletes on their team. I definitely agree with that. They
exactly.
might have three. They might have three guys right now that can do it. Every time they touch the
you
ball, they
two.
Might be gone.
You have
well,
two.
We have two.
Well, guys, we have 5 more minutes. We have 5 more minutes on the show. Billy Bad, you can close us out.
Look, man, I'm just telling you. Auburn is the sleeper. You guys heard it here now. But see, when they start winning, when they start winning, what you guys would do is start talking trash. But when you was trashing them in the beginning.
Wait a minute. You need to go back and listen to
I'm
the tape.
Telling
you talking about me?
I'm telling you that you have two receivers that's going to be elite this year from the benefits of the new quarterback. Now, it only depends on if he gets his butt back up throwing the ball. He's going to do that because of the schedule after Clemson.
Yeah.
First game, Clemson, he may struggle or may not. If he don't struggle against Clemson, it's a long season for everybody in the SEC.
Bill, I should ask you what your drink sponsor was about 30 minutes ago.
He told us earlier, it's a rock.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I did miss 30 minutes of the show. Yeah, Billy.
Well, my personal opinion about Auburn, I don't think Auburn is going to be a bad team by any means. Auburn has too much talent on campus to be a bad team. And Auburn always will stand the way because of how they recruit and the conference that they play in. Auburn will always be a sleeper team. And that's just my personal opinion. They will always be a sleeper team because of the talent that they have on campus in the conference that they play in.
Oh
like
God.
Billy said, there was a few games last year that was won strictly by the field goal kicker. You know, strictly by the field goal kicker. You take away that loss at Georgia, those injuries at Georgia, and you have Alabama and Auburn actually playing to see who goes to the SEC West, who represents the SEC West in the Iron Bowl. So my personal opinion is Auburn has the talent. They'll always be a sleeper team. But until Gus Malzahn proves it on the field, I just gotta see it on the field. I gotta see it on the field.
That's a safe
passing game should be better.
That's a safe way.
But we shall see.
Both ways.
I got one better for you. Auburn has
like
always
said,
had the talent.
So if the quarterback gets up and doesn't throw, okay, go ahead.
Billy Bonzo, guys, to add to what Bonzo said, Auburn has always had the talent. They've never not had the talent in the past 10 to 15 years. I would say the only time they didn't have the talent, I take that back, is when Chizik first started, when they lost all those recruits when he started. That's the only time we were lacking talent. Other than that, I mean, Auburn has been competitive for years. I mean, the talent has always been there. Now, did it fit the dumbass's system? No, it didn't. It didn't fit his system because he can't coach unless you can do exactly what Cam Newton did, which never happened. So I say, hey, they've always had a talent, not as much as Alabama, and that's pretty much it. I leave that horn alone. I put it back in his case. I won't toot it no more. Ridiculous.
Okay, SEC family, that's our time.
catch us on Wednesday for another show. Same bat time, same bat channel. Also, if you guys get a chance, follow us on Facebook. That's the SEC Mixtape. Follow us on Twitter. Bonzo at SEC Mixtape on Twitter. SEC Mixtape on Twitter. You got G Willis at SEC Mixtape on Twitter. And you got Billy Bad at SEC Mixtape on Twitter. Follow us there, man. We're doing a lot of updating and things. Just check us out. We'll see y'all on Wednesday, and we are out.
See you.